Much, Alex. Whoa, that's a lot of volume. Easy there. Good morning, men. How are you doing today? Good, good. It's my pleasure to be with you this morning. And as I look out there, in addition to Alex and the walk that he and I have had together, I see some men that have been in this church a long time, and I'm so encouraged to be with you and share a little bit this morning. As some of you know, a few months ago, Mike Myers came back to Reston Bible Church, and Mike Myers is a great brother in the Lord. He taught my kids, some of my older kids, when they were little, and so we're so excited to have him back. And I was actually wearing two hats. I was doing the children's ministry, and I was doing family ministry, which is kind of this undefined thing. And when Mike came back to take on the children's ministry, it was a blessing to me and to our church, I believe, because now it allows two people to really address the needs of family. And so many of you have asked, you know, what exactly is family ministry? So what are you doing at Reston Bible Church? Why is Mike paying you to be here now these days? And the answer is that, simply put, Mike does things that the primary audience is children, and I do things that the primary audience is adults. So Mike is doing the Sunday morning teaching of kids, and he does kids camp and all of those things. But in my role, I focus on adults, and those adults specifically are adults in families. That would be married couples. That would be families, parents of children. So I spend a lot of time teaching parenting classes. And when parents come up to me and they say, Jason, what do I need to do as a Christian parent? The first thing I say is, have you taken a parenting class? And not because I'm trying to drum up interest in the parenting class, but just because I think that RBC has done a really good job. Myself, Ray Schoaf, Bob Shull, the others that have participated in this process of creating a list of things that parents can really look to get started in their parenting process and with their children. And so I'm going to share one of those with you this morning, and a critical one. And we're going to start off and we're going to talk about priorities in family. So how many of you have seen the parents that on Saturday morning, their schedule is overlapped, they're running from place to place, travel soccer game to travel basketball game. You ask them, hey, can you get together and for a coffee? And their schedule is so packed, they can't even fit you in on a weekend. Any of you ever encountered one of those? Have you ever encountered one of those families, sad one? Have you ever encountered one of those families where the couple says to you, we're sticking around for the kids, but as soon as the kids are gone, we're splitting? Have you ever heard a couple say that? Sadly enough. Have you ever seen a man who's just exasperated? Who's just exhausted, strung out, and he's trying everything that he can do to please his wife, to satisfy his wife, to win back her affection, and he's just strung out, but he's done everything. Have you ever seen a man like that, where she's 1 foot out the door, and he's just trying to bring her back in? All of these are examples of families where priorities are out of whack. You see, when we put first things third, or fourth, or fifth, or sixth, when we take the priorities, the big blocks that God has ordained to be a part of our family, and we start shuffling the deck, so to speak, when we start putting the foundational pieces on the bottom and start putting the less important pieces on the top, we see that things start to fall apart in families. And the examples that I just shared with you and many others are a testament to what people are doing today in their families, and not only just people abroad, people in Northern Virginia, but people that are in the church, Christian people in the church. So as I assess my own life and I think about my family, I wonder, what are the priorities that God has ordained for us? What are the things that God tells us we need to put first? Because if God tells us to put something first and we put it first, we're most likely to see success in our families. Well, fortunately, God doesn't just leave us hanging out there. He doesn't let us flounder. He doesn't let us wander. He's very specific about the priorities that we need to have in our families. And he gives us that for a reason. He gives us that so that we can glorify him and experience the joy that he has in store for us. You see, every Christian man can experience the joy in family that God intends by putting first things first. Every Christian man can experience the joy that God intends for you to have in family by putting first things first. So the natural question is, okay, what is first? What belongs first? What belongs second? What belongs third? What does God tell us about priorities? And if you'll turn with me to Matthew, we'll see that we're not the first people to ask this question. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to see that people long before us have been asking the question, God, help me. Help me. Show me what's important. What should I put first in my life? What's the most important thing that I can do? And this verse applies, this passage applies to not only husbands and fathers, it applies to everyone. But when we look at families specifically and we ask ourselves the question, why are things falling apart? Oftentimes, the reason is because we are not following God's clearly articulated priority list. He tells us what to put first. The story goes something like this. If you look at Matthew 22, verse 34, we see a Pharisee heard that he had been, but when the Pharisee heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, he being Christ, they gathered together. So here is a Pharisee, a teacher in the law at that time, and he comes up to Christ and he hears that Christ had silenced one of the Sadducees. And the Pharisee's pretty pumped about that. Okay? So a Pharisee is happy because one of the Sadducees got shot down by Christ, and he's happy. And the Pharisee, you know what Pharisees think about Sadducees, right? You guys know this old joke? What Pharisees think about Sadducees? You see, a Pharisee believes in life after death, and a Sadducee does not believe in life after death. So the Pharisee says that that's why he's sad, you see. Badum-choo. Yeah, it's really lame. I know. So that's the difference between a Pharisee and a Sadducee. So the Pharisee's pretty excited because the Sadducee just got shot down by Christ. He obviously got put in his place. So the Pharisee's feeling a little confident. He comes up to Christ, and he basically says this. What is the greatest commandment in the law? And what he's saying is this. Underneath his question is this. I have been studying the law my entire life. The 613 things that God has given to the patriarchs, to Moses. We have been following these 613 things that we should be doing and not doing. All these rules to follow. I've been studying them. I've been trying to follow them as best I can, but I'm exhausted. How do you guys feel sometimes? I have this to do for work. I have this to do for my wife. She's given me the honey-do list. My kids have these things to do. They have these events on the weekend. There's all these things. I don't know about you, but I'm just exhausted sometimes because I look at all the options before me, all the things that people are telling me I should be doing. You work for the church. You should be at all these church events. Your family's over here. Your daughter's over here. Your wife needs you to do this. We have all these things coming at us. And if we just take it all, it's almost numbing. It's like paralyzing when we have this, when we look at the list of the things that we have to do. That's what the Pharisee felt like. I have all these things I've been studying all my life. I've been trying to follow all these things. Will you just break it down for me, Jesus? I've heard that you're an awesome teacher, that you have incredible wisdom. Will you just break it down for me and tell me what's the most important thing that I need to do out of these 613 things? And Christ says this to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. So 613 things to do, all of this stuff. What's the most important thing to do? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. Pursue God first. If we were to put this in modern day terms, we would say that God is clearly saying that our first priority in life, and therefore our first priority in marriage, is pursuit of him, to pursue him. So the Pharisee's like, okay, that's good. I know what I need to do first. I need to pursue the Lord. This is the great and first commandment in the law, Christ says. Then I pick it up in verse 39. And a second is like it. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all of the law and all of the prophets. So Jesus is saying, everything that you have studied in the Old Testament, all of those laws that you've looked at, all of them can be summarized in this, 613 things down to two. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. This story is so important that it's replicated in two other gospels. So in Mark, it's in chapter 12, and I like in Mark how it says this, there is no other commandment greater than these. No other commandment greater than these. In Luke, Jesus poses it as a question, and we're not sure if it's exactly the same story, but obviously it was an important topic at the time because they were inundated with all of these things that they had to do and not do as Jews. So they were wondering what was the most important thing. So in Luke, Jesus goes up and says, what do you think the most important thing is? And a Pharisee answers that back, love God, love others as himself. And Jesus tells him, you have answered correctly. So this was an important question at the time. People were wondering, what's the most important thing I need to do? Same today, we wonder, what should we do first as Christian guys? I so much appreciate that you men are here this morning because you wonder what God desires for you in your families. And God tells us, love him first and then love others. Those are the priorities. So let's break this down a little bit. First off, Jesus pulled this out of the Old Testament. So he's actually quoting the Old Testament here. You don't have to turn, but when he says, love the Lord your God, he actually pulls this out of Deuteronomy 6. So in Deuteronomy 6, it says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, meaning that there is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all of your might. He's saying, you need to put me first. I am the priority of your life. I am the priority of your family. And then he goes on to talk about this in Deuteronomy 6. And these are the words I command you today. They shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall walk with them and shall talk of them as you sit in your house and when you walk along the way and when you lie down and when you rise. What God is saying is you need to focus on me first and then pass it on. So when Jesus broadly says, love the Lord your God first, that's our first priority, and love others. Others is a pretty broad statement, right? That's a lot of people, others. Well, fortunately, he breaks it down further. And if we take different parts of Scripture and put it together, there's only one person on this earth that we are called to be one with. And that is our bride. That is our spouse. All the way back in Genesis 2, when God instituted marriage, he says that you're going to become one. And then there's only one person that God says, you shall love your wife as Christ loved the church. So when we look at the priority list, he says, love God first, and then love your spouse. Of all the other people on the planet, your number two priority should be your spouse. And then if we cross-reference it with what we see in Deuteronomy here, it says that we should take the things that we're learning from God and then share them with our children, share them within our home. And then if we look further in Scripture, we see that we're commanded to watch over our children, to teach them, to train them, to discipline them. In fact, there's more verses about how we interact with our kids directly than there are about interacting with any other specific person. So we can piece it together and see that God is telling us that we're supposed to love him first, put him as the first priority, and then put our wife as the second priority, the only one we're supposed to be one with, and then our children, the only people on this planet that we have direct responsibility for and that we are called to interact with daily, as it says in Deuteronomy, and to teach daily. I'm not called to teach you guys daily. It's great being with you, but I'm not called to do that daily. I'm called to do that daily with our children. So God says priority number one, me, God. Priority number two, your wife. And priority number three, your children. Okay, Jason, so what's the big deal? What does this all mean? It means that when we take our priorities, the priorities that God puts in place, and we shuffle it around and put things on top that shouldn't be on top, things fall apart. I tell you that when I am not at a good place with the Lord, I am not a good husband. When I am not at a good place with the Lord, I am not a good father. God doesn't tell us this just for nothing. He tells us this because it actually applies. It's not just head knowledge, it's application. When we're not right, when we're not at a good place with God our Father, we are going to fail as husbands and we are going to fail as fathers. When we take the priorities and take them out of whack, things get messed up. In parenting class, I spend a lot of time talking about child-centered parenting. And that's exactly what that example was that I gave you at the beginning, or at least a manifestation of that. When we put our children, their schedules, their time commitments, their sports, their academics, their lives, ahead of our relationship with the Lord, if we, practically speaking, if we cannot find time to be with the Lord on Saturday morning because we're so busy running around the soccer camps, there is a problem. Because we've put things out of order. That's child-centered parenting. When we put our spouse above the Lord, and we are more concerned about pleasing our spouse than we are about spending time with the Lord and knowing Him, things start to fall apart. God tells us the priorities for a reason, because when we put Him first, everything else falls into place. But He tells us how we should prioritize things. Let's continue on and look at how this practically applies. Alex prompted me to be as practical as I possibly could. When I say spend time with the Lord, I'm not going to paint a picture for you as to what that is. I hate to break it to you. There is no magic formula for spending time with the Lord. It's not 15 minutes reading scriptures, 5 minutes prayer, 10 minutes. As guys, we like formulas, right? We would love for somebody just to paint the picture and give us the equation. This is what you need to do. If you do this every day, everything will work out. If you do this 3-5 days a week, everything will work out. There is no magic formula. For me personally, I feel closest to the Lord when I read His Word, when I study His Word. I love to sit and read Scripture and then think about how I would present that Scripture back to other people. I basically sit and write journal entries, which are little mini sermons, of how I teach it to my kids, how I teach it to others. That's how I internalize Scripture. That's how I feel closest to the Lord. Some of you might feel incredibly close to the Lord through music. Your best time with the Lord is when you just listen to old hymns, modern Christian music, whatever that is. Some of you feel closest to the Lord through meditation. I know Mike is a meditator. He loves to meditate. I can't meditate like Mike. I can't do the things that Mike does. He takes walks and meditates with the Lord and just reflects upon Scripture. That's how he feels closest to the Lord. I know some of you are prayer warriors. My wife is a prayer warrior. I mean, she prays all the time. I wish I prayed a fraction as much as she does. And she's just constantly in prayer. But that's how she feels closest to the Lord. I don't know for each of you when you feel closest to the Lord. But I will tell you this. When you are walking with Him, when you desire to know Him, I loved Tony's sermon 2 weeks back. Love that sermon. And Tony talked about putting Him first and understanding what He has done. When you reflect upon God's goodness, when I reflect upon God's goodness and recognize that I'm nothing without Him, I am created by Him, left without him. I'm a filthy, rotten sinner. And without him, I am nothing. He sustains me. He redeems me. When I step away from that and don't take time to reflect upon that, I just well up with selfishness and pride. And then that just pours out into my family. When I don't put God first, I naturally put me first. And when I put me first, the trickle-down effect of Jason, ugliness, is ugliness with my wife and ugliness with my kids. Because all I think about is me. When there's an opportunity for us to do something as a family, I think, how does that impact me? I don't think, what does that mean for my wife? What does that mean for my kids? I think, how does that impact me? And everything goes through the filter of me. So whatever you can do to spend time with him and draw closer to him will trickle down to the other areas. As far as practical applications, I told you how I feel closest to the Lord. I'll share with you, recently, I went away a few months ago, and I met the most interesting gentleman, and he said that he reads Scripture out loud, and he reads it in big chunks, more like a story instead of, I'm going to get through Galatians 2 today. He says, I'm going to read for 30 minutes, and I'm going to read out loud, and I'm just going to plow through and read as much as I can. And I tell you what, I've tried that, and it's been phenomenal, just reading the Scriptures out loud. It's really helped to just bring them alive for me. And I think about them more, I ponder them more throughout the day, and also not being so held up, so caught up in the, okay, I'm going to read this much of Genesis today, this much of Matthew today, this much of the Psalms today. You know, just read it like a story. So just a little tidbit for what it's worth. As far as just really practical application, if God tells us him first, our wife second, and our children third, for me, how that plays out within my home, I'm a calendar freak. I don't know if any of you can relate, but like, I love my calendar, and I love to just schedule things. If somebody wants me for anything, if somebody says, hey, can you take out the garbage? I'm like, just put it on the calendar, and I'll get it done. Because I like everything on the calendar. And that's how I live. That's how I fall. So some of you might not be anal retentive German like me, but that's how I operate. So for me, knowing that that's how I operate by the calendar, so I have to take what God says and put it into the calendar. So what I do is I schedule time with the Lord every day because it's my top priority. Spend time with him every day. And for me, it's the morning. Some of you, it might be different, but when I give myself to him in the morning, it puts me in a good place. Number two is I spend a date night with my wife every week. So in my calendar, every Monday night from 6:30 to 9 o'clock, there's a block chunk of time to spend with my wife. It may shift to another night of the week, but it's always there, and we try to do it every single week because she's the number two priority in my life. And each of my kids, I have seven, each of my kids get a date with me once a month. So once a month, I spend 2 to 3 hours with each of my kids doing something individually with them, specific to them, that they enjoy, undivided daddy time attention. Because I believe that those are the priorities that God clearly lays out. I spend time with him every day, my wife once, and it's not like I only see my wife once a week. But when I read a recent study that says that in North America, we're on average spending 4 minutes of quality conversation with our wife per day. I'm a little disturbed by that. And so we have to think, okay, what can we do to make sure that we have that time with our wife? So I spend time with her each week, and then I spend time with my kids each month. And then the last thing that I would say to you, as far as applying the priorities that God has in place in your home, is men, learn to say no. Learn to say no and say it often. When somebody asks you to do something else for work, when they ask you to go to the church event, when they ask you to stay after work and go to happy hour, just learn to say no to things that get in the way of the priorities. Because when you learn to say no, you learn to say yes to what God has asked you to do and he's commanded you to do. So don't feel like just because an offer comes, just because your child is good enough to play travel soccer, but you realize that you learn that travel soccer means a commitment every weekend. You don't have to say yes to that. say no. Every one of us can experience the joy that God intends us to have in family, but we have to follow the priorities that he's laid out for us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the time this morning with these men. I thank you for their hearts to serve you, to know you, Lord, Lord, just to understand what you have to say about priorities in their life. And Lord, as clear as you can be, you tell us that we need to put you first, our wives second, and our children third, and everything else comes after that, Lord. It's not that the other things are bad, Lord, they just aren't what's best. Father, help us to apply this to our own lives so that we can live a life that pleases you, that we can experience the joy that you intend for us, Lord. And we know it's only possible because of what you've done on the cross. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.